Well, I can't believe it, but what's up, everybody? This is Dr. David Brock, and I am in studio with the one and only, always sharp, always dressed, always ready to impress. It is Dr. Sharon. Doc, what's up, cuz?
What's up, cuz? How you been?
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, it's been a while since we've been together.
Well, that's not true. We've been together.
Well, we've been together, right?
Here,
right.
Though, you know, I mean, it's been a long while since we've been in studio.
Right,
so,
right. We've been all over. I thought about it today when we decided we were coming back in the studio. I thought about it and I said, it's like, where's Waldo? Where have we been? We've been here. We've been there. We've been all over the place. It has been a whirlwind. But here we finally got back into the studio to get back to you guys and just bring you up to speed on some things and just catch up. So there's been a lot going on.
A lot going on. And it's so great to see you. And like you said, we've just been very busy. So we have, in fact, been with each other in different ways, along with Melissa and the whole crew. But it's so nice to see you in the studio.
Absolutely. It's good to be here. But well, you know, we've been all over the place and we're going to talk about some of that with our listening audience. But, you know, while we were traveling, I did find out, and this is not open for debate, that sugar goes on grits. I found that out. I mean, I found that out. Aren't you glad we cleared that up?
No.
Huh?
No, we have not cleared that up.
The
jury is still out. I think it was 50-50.
Yeah.
I think 50% said sugar and things, and the rest of us said no. It is salt and pepper, and, you know, I mix my eggs and mine.
Well, yeah, so. we won't even go in there about mixing the eggs in. I was just trying to slip in for America to get people right when it came to grits.
That is called cream of wheat. That is not called grits when you put sugar on it. I'm like, what? No. So some people like savory, and some people like the sugar.
I guess it's sugar and sweet.
Savory and sweet. But you know, you do anything sugar.
Yeah, well, you know, sugar helps everything. You know, go right. Most things go better with sugar. Can you imagine a pound cake, no sugar? Can you imagine cornbread, no sugar? Can you imagine so many things I could just go down the list that sugar makes better. And on that list would be rice, and on that list would be grits.
Okay, you know what? Now, there's something about rice with sugar. And that's when you really want, you know, you're kind of having that sweet tooth. And you have some extra rice. Right. Now, I can do that.
Okay. All
okay.
Right.
But then I put some raisins and stuff, so I'm almost like making rice.
I was going to say, you make a rice pudding.
Yeah, I'm making like an over-the-top, on-the-stove rice pudding, you know? So that's how that goes. You put a little cinnamon, nutmeg.
Right. You done made rice pudding.
I done made some rice pudding. But, you know, other than that, the grits, mm-mm.
You know, there's some people probably listening to us, and I was laughing because I saw a meme today, and they said, just imagine, they said, in about the next 10 years, there will be grandmothers who don't know how to cook. Because nobody's passing down recipes and nobody's out. I said, wow, that is true. You know, it's going to be some folks.
That's pretty sad, though, right?
Yes,
oh, my
indeed.
Goodness. They think that, you know, cooking rice is the one that comes in the thing you put in the microwave or something.
Or the one in the bag. You drop it in the hot water. It's already in the bag. You drop it in the hot water for whatever, and pull it out, and it's rice. It's rice in a bag.
Rice in a bag.
Yeah, it's instant rice.
Oh, no. Rice is an art.
Well, most people cannot do that.
Your rice, you got, and you can't mess with it. You got to have, and it has to have the right measurements.
See, most people can't, you know, they go and they get the box of rice and they just, you know, pull it out the bag and they put the minute rice in the water for a few minutes.
And,
yeah, see, they don't know how to boil it.
You got to soak the rice. You got to, you know, rinse it off and things because all the extra starch.
See, now you're going grandma's recipe. You doing grandma rice.
That's not too much.
That's too much. Okay. That's like almost getting steel cut oats and cooking that. Most people got the oatmeal. Mm-mm. They rip the little bag off the thing and drop it and put it in the microwave for 30 seconds.
No.
And see, they got oatmeal and all that. See, but you're talking like like steel cut, you got to know what you're doing right. When you mess with steel cut
steel
oats.
Steel cut.
See, now folks, some folks don't even know what steel cut oats are.
Oh my gosh, it comes in a can,
yeah,
not a box.
Yes.
It comes in the can that's sealed tight.
Tight lid, and you got to know what you're doing.
So. Yeah, and again, you got to follow the directions. You cannot ad lib.
Well, see, then that's a whole nother thing, following directions. Mm. We can go down a rabbit hole right here with all of this.
Got too much going on here.
They're like, how are they talking about rice? Listen, we're just free flowing today. We have been not in the studio, but we've had so much that has taken place since we've been together, and so many things we wanted to cover and we were working around and doing, but we really didn't get a chance to come to you, our listening audience, to bring you in on some of those things. So I know we haven't been together for a minute, and one of those things we wanted to talk about, I think it was April, or did I skip March?
Yeah, you skipped March.
What was going on in March?
Well, we're going to talk about, you know, we were in the first quarter and how we're thinking, you know, America was going. And, you know, I think people are all over the place with it.
Right.
There's some things happening in communities and, you know, wherever we fall in that, I know that God is bigger than all the things.
Yeah.
And so that's where I just kind of put my faith in, you know, and understand what my prayer life needs to be with those things that maybe I'm not sure of or curious about, right?
Right.
And how it's impacting communities in different ways.
Absolutely. We've seen so many changes that have happened since the new administration. And a lot of it has really been interesting. You know, there's a lot of people that thought they were going to receive one thing, and now we see that there's been a lot of changes. And as you said, I think that this is certainly a time that we have to know God. We got to know God, and we have to have a relationship with God, and we have to really learn to trust him, because, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but as the old hymn says, we know who holds tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the other thing is that, you know, as people talk and they're thinking about where they land, you know, as an African-American woman, I know that we've held up so much. And so I think for the first quarter, you know, I told people, you know, I'm taking a break, you know, mentally and emotionally. I was just, you know, you give so much and you see things not working out the way in which you thought or intended, but you really have to regroup, right? And so I think a lot of people didn't give up, but they were just kind of regrouping and recalibrating, if you will, to figure out what they wanted to do next. And so, and that trajectory is different for people.
Right.
You know, people, you know, depending on how much they were involved in the political process, you know, people just have to figure out where they want to re-enter in their own way. So people have not given up. It's just that they're recalibrating and determining where their entry point is again.
Right. And some of us, and some of, for some, it's almost like when you make a wrong turn with your GPS and it says recalibrating, recalculating, mm-hmm. and it gives you a new route. So we're finding our way through this thing. And,
yeah.
And I like that. I like that analogy. We're finding our way and we're recalibrating and we haven't given up.
Right. Yeah. And I think the other thing is that people, depending on their backgrounds, depending on what they do, the process and the engagement strategy does not look the same, and nor should it.
Right.
Right. So we all have our spaces where we know how to engage in the political process. And so we have to honor difference.
Right.
Right. Some people are the strong, staunch advocates, and some folks are the silent assassins.
Right.
And they do things in a very different way. And so right. We have to be able to honor how everyone, you know, shows up in a different way.
Right. That's good stuff there. Mm-hmm. So I know we haven't been, we talked about, you know, this is not in March, but I know you were doing things. So tell me what was happening with InStyle PhD and what was happening with your content creation? Have you approached your creation of your content and your online presence? Have you changed that much since this new administration? Has it affected what you're doing or your thought processes?
Oh, no, not at all. I think that for me, I've always been intentional. I mean, so who I am and how I'm wired is that I'm intentional. I don't do anything just to be doing it. It's like, okay, why are you doing it? So making sure my process makes sense, right? I sit in different places and how I engage has to be based on that particular space that I sit in. And I'm always thoughtful about not only what I'm saying, but who it impacts. So my content in terms of the online presence that I'm that's emerging, if you will, that's not changed. I'm still doing some style. I'll do some thought pieces around leadership pretty much. So how people really are thinking about their own leadership, how people show up, how are you engaging with your teams and engaging with the community, those sorts of things. So I've really been pushing people to examine that for themselves, right? But mostly it's all about, you know, how do you show up in the space and be seen? You know, as someone six decades old, you know, it's sometimes people think, oh, girl, just go in a corner and sit down. Oh, not to me.
I'm not
ever going to sit down and be quiet, like, you know, just shut up and dribble. That's not me at all. And so it's really showing people, how do you stay relevant and how do you really, because when you get a certain age, it's like, do you think I really care about what you think? You know, it is liberating to say, you know what, listen, I got more years behind me than I got in front of me. So guess what? I'm going to live my best life.
I know that's right.
And I'm not going to really think about, you know, what other folks may think, but I'm also, again, really thoughtful about that.
Right. And I'm probably one, especially when you do the Substack writings and things, I'm one that always reads them and look forward to them and always grabbing a nugget. So we'll make sure those of you that are not following Dr. Sharon on the InStyle PhD, we're going to make sure her information is in the chat in the link so you can go and check out what she's doing. So,
And I will say that, you know, InStyle PhD, Fashion Fusion by InStyle PhD, the magazine, and actually was a year old in March.
Okay.
And so when I think about where we started and, you know, what it's kind of morphed into, and it really just came out of this whole idea of I just love fashion. And then I began to put in, like, how do I fuse my leadership? You know, obviously I have a doctorate in organizational leadership. So how do I incorporate some of those thoughts and ideas into the conversation? And because the audience is so vast, when I looked at my analytics, I have folks as young as 25 up to about 67. So it's vast and people have different experiences. And so I wanted to be able to ensure that whatever I'm writing, it could be for that vast group.
Right.
And so I get so much feedback. In fact, yesterday, someone had commented in my Instagram and she said, when I told her, I was like, oh yeah, I'm 63. She said, oh, I thought you were my age. Well, I didn't know how old you were. She said, oh, I'm 41. I'm like, oh, well, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. But the whole idea is that people, I want to be able to put out content that anybody can glean from. And that's what the writing is about. How do I take this back to, no matter where I sit in the organization or in my space, how do I take that information and use it for me so that it's relevant in my life, even if I'm a front line? How do I think about using this to ascend to the apex if that's what I'm interested in doing?
Right. Yeah, it's good stuff. And I encourage you guys to definitely check it out. Great. And congratulations on a year in March. So it fell right into the right area of the conversation. Right.
Well, what about you? What have you been doing?
Ooh, I have been just really focusing on doing some traveling, you know, still working in terms of consulting work that has afforded me the opportunity to go around the country and to share the message of kinship and a value for family. So I've been doing that, a lot of that, but also just taking it easy and kind of regrouping. You know, I just celebrated my 62nd birthday, you know, so that just happened a week ago. And so, you know, looking at that and just noticing, as you said earlier, I have more time behind me than I do in front of me. So I'm really trying to recalibrate and make certain that what I'm doing is intentional, it is meaningful, impactful, and it is what God would have me to do. So I'm really just watching and, you know, just reevaluating. I've had to take a moment, and I think it's really good to sometimes reevaluate relationships, you know, because relationships, you know, even family relationships, it's sometimes good to reevaluate those relationships. And I've hit a place in my life where I'm not just saying it, but I'm living it. If you are a bloodsucker or a detractor then then I need to love you from way over there.
Right.
Like when I see you getting close, I start itching and scratching because, you know, you're getting too close. You know, you're contagious, you know,
right,
to my well-being. But I'm saying that to say, you know, I've reevaluated where I am and I've decided to invest in those relationships that invest in me.
Yeah.
And those ones that are not just investing in me, but those ones that are around for what they can get from me and so forth. I've recalibrated those and have very little interest. So it's just been a moment where I've just been focusing on trying to be the best me that I can be.
Well, you know what? I written something on Substack to talk about if relationships are draining you, you have to really evaluate, are those the relationships for you? And I think to your point, as we age, I know that my tolerance level for foolishness has totally, like, I have none.
Yeah.
I tell people I was born in the zero. I'm in the minus category. I'm minus 300. You know, so I know that that could be scary for some folks, but it is. I'm really intentional. I really want meaningful relationships, and those things and relationships that are unproductive, right? I just try to figure out, how do I love you from afar? If you need me, I'm here. But I really want to be very deliberate,
right,
and want people who really want to be around me, right?
You
know, they used to say, you know, I don't want somebody who wants to tolerate me but celebrate me.
Right.
And it's not really from a myopic perspective. It's really from a wellness perspective.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm like, oh, that just sounds so selfish. No, it really is about wellness.
Yeah. It really is. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was laughing. You said that. I said, I think as a pastor, I started out with a 5-gallon bucket full of tolerance, and now I'm down to a thimble.
Oh, a thimble. Well, at least you have some. I'm in the minus category.
I'm almost there. I haven't hit the minus yet, but I'm almost there. But, you know, I try to be tolerant of some things or whatever. But, yeah, it's been a good, and it's a good season, you know, and I don't want anybody to hear this in a negative way, because for me, it's really a good season. I told somebody a couple of days ago, I said, I'm really in a season where I'm enjoying my life.
Yeah.
I'm really in a good season. I'm enjoying my life. I'm thankful for what has occurred, what God has allowed, and I'm celebrating where I am. But I'm really in a good space and a good place, and I'm just enjoying it and rolling with it. That's all.
You know what? And as you were speaking, I remembered, because I wanted to reference what I was talking about. So on July 14th, I actually had written a Substack. And it came from a question from one of my mentees. This is a young man who used to work with us. He's working on his PhD in Canada. And so Saad asked me, he said, well, what happens when you feel this helplessness, when people just fail to change? I mean, he was, he was struggling with this whole notion that, you know, I'm giving my all, but if people don't fail to change and they don't want to change, what do you do? How do you deal with that helplessness? And I said, you know, Saad is in his 30s. And I said, oh, you know, I was there too at one point, you know. And I just pretty much said to him that change is a choice.
Yeah.
And that people will have to decide whatever it is that they need to change, that really is about their own choice.
Right.
And we know that God is a God of choices. He gives us that opportunity to make a choice, right? And so it's the same thing with our relationships. People have to want to change. And that's when I also brought in Dr. Sean Jenright's work about the mirror work. You have to be able to look and interrogate that mirror and look at yourself to say, because we often want to point the finger at everybody else, but we got to start at home. Like, what is it about me, right? What is it about, as we were speaking earlier, you know, my personality might be too much for people.
Right.
And I get that. You know, I mean, I am who I am, and I know it just might be too much, and I'm okay with that. But I recognized before that used to bother me, well, I'm a nice person. Why don't they like me?
Right.
I'm like, you know what? I recognize they didn't like Jesus. You know, so who am I? You know, I mean, and he was a good dude, right? I'm like, so you know what, girl, get over yourself. Everybody's Listen. Not going to be here to be on the Sharon bandwagon team, and that's okay. What I do, however, is try to make sure that I'm kind and I'm thoughtful and I'm caring. In addition to being very direct and very intentional.
Right. Yeah. And that's it. It was funny because we were talking earlier and he said, you know, you, he's a lot, you know, who, me, moi, little old me. I was, listen, I was like Jesus. I was born in a manger, child, close to Jesus, you know.
Okay, that's what he thinks.
But you know what? It's what you said. You know, it's understanding I'm me, and I'm going to be the best version of me, and a lot can come along with me. Mm-hmm. I like things a certain way, and I'm just not going to be, you know, Melissa was saying earlier, like when I organized her shoes when we were dating, you were like, oh, that OCD could have been too much for somebody else. You know, I was just like, I'm trying to have a meeting, but I can't focus on the meeting because the shoes, the green shoe is with the blue shoe's over by the black shoe, the boot, the snow boot is by the yellow boot, the tennis shoe is by the, you know, it's like, who's on first? I'm sitting there like, oh my God.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, it was. I organized her shoes, you know. But she walked in and she was like, really, dude? She was like, she just laughed it off or whatever. But I understand me. Yes. You know, and now, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm too old of a cat to get scratched by a kitten. Mm-hmm. I'm certain things I'm not going to change.
Right. That's right.
I like certain things. I like looking a certain way. I like having a certain thing or coming in or giving a certain, and I'm okay. Yes. So I, like you said, I'm good with me. I'm at a place now where, like you said, you really think I care? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, keep thinking that. But well, in the meantime.
But you know, but that really takes a level of introspection and maturity.
Yeah.
Because we are taught that everybody is supposed to like you.
Right.
And when that doesn't happen, then we go inward. And I think this, it's good to go inward to ask yourself some questions. Am I being kind? Am I being thoughtful? Those sorts of things. Because there are just some foundational things that we ought to be just because we're human and we center humanity.
Right.
But then when it becomes somebody else's opinion, I don't have nothing to do with that.
Right, right, right.
That's none of my business. Whatever you think about me, that, and particularly when you don't know me, that's none of my business.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Now if you are in close proximity and you are one of those folks that matter, then I have to hear what you have to say because I want to make sure that because you matter, that I'm going to make some adaptations, right, if you will. So not everybody has that access or should have that access because we can't please everybody, but those folks that matter. So, you know, my daughter, my close friends, they matter to me.
Right,
so
right,
I
right.
have to be able to hear. Well, you know, Sharon, you know, you and your, my friend called me, they say, the Sagittarius. When Carolyn said, you know, that's what she called the Sagittarius. Right. I'm like, what? What? So I do say, you know, I say it really nice 1, 2, 3 times.
Right.
When it gets to the 4th, 6th, right, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, it gets a little tone to it. So you just got to send your surrogate in and say, can you please say that for me? Because it ain't going to come out so right. So I recognize that about me. But again, it really is about you doing your own mirror work, understanding who you are, and also explaining that to people that my personality is that, yes, I'm very intentional. I'm very focused. I'm very honed. I know how to have fun, all those sorts of things. But you got to be around me to get all that. Right.
Because
pretty much as I tell people that I am a introvert and an extrovert by like, situational,
right.
There's what I have to be on, but that takes a lot of energy. So when I'm off being on, if you will, I go in my little box to regroup. Well, that might look really interesting to people, right? Like, because the people that like you, that's just the sunshine and all the flowers. And I'm like, ooh, tone that down just a little bit, okay? Bring that on down. And so, and actually give me some respite from that for a second.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You'll be like, oh, that's too boring, you know? So anyway, I mean, it's just that balance,
right,
of people finding out who you are and how you tick, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's really it, you know? It's who you are. It's how you work. And again, it's like you said, when you have to be on, I know you're on. When you don't have to be, you're good being in the background or whatever the case may be. And that's really good. So, well, we better run down the road a little bit here because we'll stay here forever. So, you know, we were going in the month of April was child abuse.
Was this on April?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said, let's get down this road. We only got one brick on the yellow brick road. We got a truckload of bricks to lay.
Okay, well, y'all might as well go get your coffee, get your tea, get your popcorn.
Just stay with us. It's gonna be just stay with us, y'all, as we catch up.
Oh gosh, that's funny.
So April was Child Abuse Awareness Month, and that's something that we are near and dear to our hearts. We are concerned and we care about the babies. You know,
we care about the babies, absolutely. Excuse me, and all that we do. You know, and as a second chance, I mean, obviously we're birthed to support young people and their families who are dealing with issues of child abuse and neglect. And a lot of people don't know this, but more children come into care because of neglect and not abuse. So the numbers, one is too many, obviously, but the numbers are low in terms of physical and sexual abuse. Most people come in because of addiction issues and those sorts of things. But nonetheless, we just really try to support families, meet them where they are, and then really provide more information. And one of the things, I was having a conversation with someone, and they talked about just this whole idea that the community, the divestment in community strategies. Remember when the Boys and Girls Club and the YMCAs and YWCAs, they were very robust and played an active role in communities. Well, those, they've been divested in many communities across the country. And so where is that safe place that families go to really say, I'm struggling, I need food, I need this. So, right. So we really ought to think about how do we get to those preventative strategies before families have to go and be involved in the child welfare system. And that's what, you know, we're really trying to do across the nation is really give people more information about preventative strategies. I know that Casey Family Programs, who I'm associated with as a trustee, that's what we're doing. We're really trying to lift up how do we think about preventative strategies before families are in crisis.
Yeah, that's a good thing, because we definitely need to be more, I say, preventive, proactive instead of reactive.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's what a lot of families, you know, really need. Because, again, if we can give you the tools that will keep the child in the home, give you what you need, as opposed to it, all the dollars that are invested once the child is removed,
yes.
You know, it makes a lot of sense. So, yes, I think and I know for a fact that this has been a life work for you. And I came alongside, and it's just been something that's been near and dear to my heart. I love A Second Chance, the mission and purpose for which it's called, and the things that it does. It is just a great organization, and I think that it's that old saying says, often imitated but never duplicated. Mm-hmm. There is no organization, I don't care where it is, that is like A Second Chance. I tell you,
we special now.
We special breed now. Y'all don't know. Don't take it too far, but we special. We love the babies though.
Yes, we do.
But we special do. In the works.
We are absolutely. You know? And I'm saying this special in a really good way, because right. I think to work at A Second Chance, you really have to have a heart for families and children and communities, and the way in which we don't take no for an answer. And we will find the way to get families. Like right. I always say, we license in versus license that's out.
Right.
So we're going to make sure that we uncover everything to support families in a way. And I always tell people that, no, our job starts at 5, not at 9 to 5. Like
right.
We really start and meet families where they are. So you really have to be a special individual to understand and work in our environment, because we just do it all for families. We partner with them.
Yes.
You know, we're not overseers or surveillers. We really work with families in a holistic way.
Yep, absolutely. And then I tell people, I said, listen, if it doesn't exist and a family needs it, boy, we will create it. We will create it. Give us about an hour.
An hour? That's too long. 30 minutes.
Give us 30 minutes to an hour, and we're going to have a whole program. And be acting like it's been around for about 6 months.
Absolutely. Because, you know, really nothing's new under the sun. It's just really, you know, how do we recalibrate it or just tweak it a bit, right?
Because,
you know, it's been around for a long time. And I'll say foundationally, if you have that, you know, family is at the center, anything else just is just additive, if you will.
Yeah. I love when we always share the model and the word triad. Mm-hmm. And when we show our triad model with the caregiver, the child at the center, and the caregivers or provider or the maternal or paternal side, and then the birth parent, and it, and a lot of jurisdictions and a lot of places we go, when we talk about servicing the triad, it's like the Twilight Zone. The lights go, and they're like, wait, what? You actually wait, what? Mm-hmm. And we talk about it in terminology of a three-leg stool. Nobody's going to walk in and want to sit on a two-leg stool, you know, but we talk about servicing all three components to bring the best possible outcomes for the children involved. And so, again, a second chance, I love it. Like I said, if it's not, if it doesn't exist, give us a few minutes we will make it happen.
We will make it happen, for sure.
It's like grandma, go in that kitchen with a can of Spam and bring your whole meal.
Not Spam, y'all. Oh, Lord. I don't know how to do nothing with Spam. Now, I talked about rice earlier and grits, but Spam,
I don't either. Do they still make Spam? I think I see commercials or whatever, so yeah. I think it's still out there.
What is Spam? Like, what's in it? I don't even want to know.
It is ham in a can.
Ham in a can.
Yeah, I think it's ham in a can, but I don't know what it's been. We'll leave it alone because somebody might be eating a Spam sandwich right now, and we don't want to mess up your dinner.
Yeah, okay. In our audience, if you know how to cook Spam,
let us know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You dice it up. What do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mix it with some peas and call it a meal. All right, y'all.
Not peas and call it a meal. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I love a pea.
I'm a fan of peas. I love peas, cream peas. Yes, my mom used to cream peas for me because I love cream. I still love cream peas.
Yeah, I love cream
peas. Melissa makes peas for me all the time. So
she knows how to cream them.
Yeah, she creams them. Yeah, she knows what she's doing in the kitchen when she go in there, you know. I don't mean that in a bad way, babe, in case you listen to this. I know. She tries to get, the truth is, I don't like the grocery store. So I don't like to go in the grocery store. When I go in, I had a whole meltdown in the grocery store one time because Melissa told me we were going in to get coffee. We went in the grocery store to get coffee. So you can't tell me we're getting coffee and then you grab a whole cart. I'm sitting there like, what we need a cart for if we just getting coffee? But we go down, and then when we go to the car, I go right to the coffee aisle.
Right.
Because you said, we're getting coffee. And next thing, she said, well, while we're here, we might as well get a few things for the house. Oh, I was like a five-year-old in the middle of the coffee aisle. I had a whole meltdown. She was like, really, dude? You really having a – really? And get yourself. I don't. And the whole meltdown.
Oh, no.
I'm in the grocery store, don't. So it's easier for us, truthfully, to kind of eat out because by the time we go to the grocery store, that's time. We buy the food, then we got to bring it home and put it away. Then you got to pull it out and cook it. So you got to dirty up the kitchen, then clean up the kitchen, put the dishes away. It's easier to just go to a restaurant, order something, and bring the leftovers home.
Yeah, you might need to teach that because, you know, there's still some folks who old-fashioned still want folks in the kitchen cooking. And,
this day and age, listen, I will get you, what you like to say, you said, I will plate you a bad meal. I will plate you a meal.
Listen, I know how to order
Get me the good china.
That china. I got some fabulous napkins.
I will put some cloth napkins down. You're going to get a meal. Cook? Oh, no. And I'm not mad at you. I'm really not. Matter of fact, our house has become, when we turn on the stove reacts by saying, what is happening? What's going on? We cook for New Year's. Okay, we have New Year's Day dinner here at the house.
That's so good. We may
get Easter, but we definitely host New Year's. And so we turn on the stove, we cook for New Year's. The rest of the year, y'all, we be in somebody's restaurant.
Okay, I'm going to tell your business. Because didn't your stove go out of commission one time? Because you're probably using it.
I got a whole new, so we ain't got no chances of that now. Trust me.
It was like, y'all have used me too much on this one day. I'm conking out.
Yeah, I've had enough. I'm not cooking another thing in this house.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? Okay, speaking of that, I didn't remember how to turn on my stove, my oven. And it's like all of a sudden I turned it on and I saw all these flames. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I turn this off? I was like, Lord, please don't let this stove blow up. So I finally found the off button. I was like, okay, there it is. Mm. But I was like, okay, that's the last. Because, you know, it's usually storage. Mm. It's storage.
So you didn't know how to use the...
Okay. Well, I know how to cook, okay? But I just didn't remember because I hadn't put the oven on in so long because it's my storage for my pots. So I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, so I couldn't remember where the button was. don't know. I was thinking I was getting fancy, and I think I was going to make some cookies or something. Oh, I don't
look
know
what at
I
you. All right.
Listen, yeah, I'm talking about slice and bakes. No.
See, oh no, we are not mixing flour. No, 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 no. We
no,
just
no, no. Slice. They had some kind that you just like. I think they just
you just slice them. It out the tube. You slice it down.
No, put it on the bed. I think they came in a tray like that.
Oh, could, oh, so you just took it out. And put you it just ta- oh, yeah, stop that, it. Yeah. Oh, you fancy. I'm up here still cutting it off the tube. You say I don't know. No, these you just put it in.
Put them in.
Oh, look at you.
Fancy you ones.
Fancy. Mm,
yeah, fancy.
Okay.
So anywho, I didn't know. I couldn't remember. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been so. You know, I just that was a wrap.
Listen, I'm not mad at you.
That was a wrap.
I'm like, not.
That's not going to happen again. So,
I'm anywho, not mad at you.
It's my storage again.
Yeah, and it works. You know, hey, it works. It has a purpose.
It
you
has
know,
a purpose.
Leave that cooking for somebody else.
That is, you know, I mean, but I am a really good cook. But I just, you know, I retire from that.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not. I love to cook or whatever else, but you know, anymore it's overrated. So,
yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm like, you know.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm hearing you say that, and that's really good. And so I want other folks to know that there are other things that we can be using our time. The fact of the matter is that they have a really good order and service.
Yes, listen, I'm telling you because I know I'm throwing their business out, but like my parents, my wife's parents, they Chuck and Doris, they do not go to grocery store. They order everything. It just shows up at the house.
Those are my kind of people. Yes, and you know what? Honestly, I went to the grocery store. I wanted watermelon yesterday. I was just, you know, I'm like, I have not had watermelon all summer. And I just wanted some watermelon. So I said, well, I'm not going to order a whole watermelon because I won't eat it. So I said, well, let me just go to the grocery store. So I went up the street to the grocery store. Well, first of all, I couldn't get past the alcohol. I'm like, when did they have put all this stuff in the store? Oh, it's been a long time. Oh my goodness, it's taking over the whole store. You get
yeah,
in, it's
it is.
Like, I mean, it's like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, you think you're in the wine and spirit store because of the alcohol.
I think I'm in the wine and spirit. Yeah. You walk in the door and you see the wine and spirits.
And then depending on which store you go to, you can only check out, if you do buy alcohol, you can only check out in one particular line. So the line that's going around the back of the store to the back, that's the alcohol line. You could pay your other groceries there, but if you buy an alcohol, you can only use that line, and that line is usually always long. I don't know what's happening with people, but nonetheless.
I'm just saying.
Did you get the watermelon?
I got the watermelon slices, but I had to sift through, like, is it the Chardonnay?
Listen,
is it the types of brands?
Pinot Grigio.
Wow, who knew all of this here at the grocery store? You used to just get groceries. Yeah. Now you can get spirits and everything.
Yeah, you can get it all. We're trying to become a one-stop shop. Absolutely.
Well, no, they didn't have any outfits in there.
No, well, see, now when they start getting outfits, then it's going to be over. We'll just find you always at the store.
They did not have any outfits in there. So I was like, oh, no fashion there. And there's not the aisle for fashion.
Listen, not at all.
Fashion on aisle two.
Right. There you go. And that's what, if you all really want a one-stop shop, we need some clothes up
fashion
in here.
Fashion on aisle two.
You hear me? Yeah, we could do that. You know what? Now, when we see it later, we'll be saying, we were talking about that. Listen, it'll be right
they
there.
They do take my ideas.
Listen,
child. I know. I get
you
it.
Got a business always in your head, flowing out all the time.
You know, I wake up with an entrepreneurial spirit. So.
That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into May. Lord have mercy. We still ain't here. Hey, family. Dr. David Brock, co-host of the What's Up Cuz podcast. We hope you enjoyed catching up with Dr. Sharon and I as we shared the latest happenings from our lives and the community. We have so much more to uncover that we had to break this into two parts. Can you believe it with us? Absolutely. You won't want to miss part two of Where Have You Been? All right, coming on the podcast. So join us next time as we continue our conversation into exciting developments coming on the podcast platform as we continue to explore these meaningful conversations that lie ahead. Whether you are here seeking inspiration or just a good laugh, we're glad you're here and we're ready to help you navigate this journey of life. So do us a favor. Be sure to subscribe. Stay connected. Come back for part two. We can't wait to share more insights, more stories, more laughter with you. So until we meet again and until you hear from us, keep shining. And remember, God loves you and so do we. God bless you.